Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show. And T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the producer.
Callie Mike in the building.
The face that produces the place, Tyler Milner. And Callie Mike is in the building. That's right. There he is. He's having himself a good time tonight, as well as you should as well. As we're live here at Talliard's here in Sugar Land, come on out. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. And if you're trying to figure out where the hell is Talliard's in Sugar Land, it is right next to where the Space Cowboys play. That's exactly where it is. Right next to
literally
it. Backs up to it. There it is. You cannot miss. Talliard's a great spot. It's a spot to bring your kids. We're starting to see this playground fill up as we're rolling into the 5 o'clock hour. Families come down here, and I promise you, this is my side of town. We have most definitely brought our kids out here around this time and just enjoyed us some adult beverages and just set our asses down and let them run themselves so they go in and take a nap when they get or go to sleep when they get home, and that can be your night. TV's everywhere for you to watch anything you want to watch. Tonight, you can have yourself a good time right here at Talliard's. Again, in the 5 o'clock hour, we still have prizes to win. We still have another Academy Sports and Outdoor gift card and our big prize, Texans tickets, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. If you have not put your name in our raffle box, that is how you win. Raffle box is sitting right there at that table. Grab a ticket, put it in the raffle box, and you will have a chance to win a pair of future tickets to a Texans game. I see my man making his way over here. He said, hold on, let me get to this damn box right here. He's walking on a mission. I see you, man. Go ahead, get that ticket. My man, too, right here. Go ahead, grab that ticket. We'll see if we can get you a winner here coming up. All right, fellas, the official injury report is out, and I think the big news we'll get to here with the Texans in a bit, but the big news is Lamar Jackson, who John Harbaugh has been reluctant to admit or say that he is going to be out. Well, they've brought out their injury report, and they have him listed as out of this game. He, along with guys we already knew would be out, in Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith, Patrick Ricard, their Pro Bowl fullback, is out as well. Owusu, another corner for them. So both of the two of their top three corners are out of this game. It looks like Kyle Van Noy will go in this game, and it looks like their cornerback Nate Wiggins will go in this game. They don't have designations with them. They were limited in practice. Also, Tyler Lindenbaum, their center, will go as well. But Clint, the big news right now is Lamar Jackson being out. By the way, Kyle Hamilton hasn't practiced the last 2 days. He's listed as questionable. But Lamar out, Clint, how much does this change this game for the Texans?
Well, it changes it a ton. It changes the game from it's going to be a bear to even compete to you should win the game. I mean, I think it's that much of a swing. I mean, this game has swung 8-plus points. Now, I don't think that's all Lamar Jackson, but it's a big chunk of Lamar Jackson. I think I saw where I think it swung 9 total points, something like that. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a big deal, and it couldn't come at a better time. I mean, the Texans need this game in a monster way. 1-4 just seems like it's all but over this season, and they need this game. And so, with all the Pro Bowlers, the MVP caliber quarterback, with those guys out, obviously it's good news for the Texans. So we'll see on game day what actually ends up happening, who's in, who's out. But the news that's breaking in the sense of Lamar Jackson is big.
Yeah, it has to change the complete game plan for both teams, right? Like, I mean, this is – I think they were coming to this game going to be heavy, Derrick Henry, but, you know, probably even more of a focus on their run game. They're probably coming into this game – we got to get 30 carries between, you know, Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, our guys. We've got to get 30 carries, and this has got to be running the football to set up the pass with Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush obviously changes this game completely for the Texans, and how does this change it defensively for the Texans with Cooper Rush in there as opposed to Lamar Jackson?
Well, I don't think it changes the plan. I think it puts a more of an emphasis on stopping the run, obviously. I mean, I just got to believe that this is going to be an even heavier dose of Derrick Henry. I got to believe it's going to be a heavy dose of Derrick Henry between the tackles, between the guards, downhill, where Tampa Bay had a lot of success versus the Texans.
Those double teams.
And now with no Lamar Jackson, I think even more of the load, obviously, is on the play caller and on Derrick Henry. And so I just think there's going to be a bigger emphasis on getting him going than it would be. And look, I think it was going to be big no matter what, but I think it's even a heavier dose of Derrick Henry, which, I'll be honest with you, I would prefer over Lamar Jackson taking snaps.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah, you feel like hey, let's take one of those dynamic players out and leave you with one. Again, it's not like they're completely done. Mark Andrews has had a good start to the year and is a really good tight end. Isaiah Likely, who's returned from a broken foot, he was at least active for his first game last week. Maybe you see more of him. Zay Flowers is kind of been, kind of headed into his best season of his career this year. So they still have some guys over there, but obviously it changes things. On the Texans side of things, three guys are declared out. Denico Autry, who was, eligible to return off the pup list. Foley Fatakasi, who's had the shoulder. He has not practiced this week. He is out. And then Jalen Reed is out. Derek Stingley, Nico Collins, Harrison Bryant, no designation as they've had dealt with some minor injuries, but they are going to go. But Foley, Denico Autry, two guys off that D-line, and then Jalen Reed are out.
No surprise with Denico Autry and Jalen Reed. There's a three-week window here for them to declare whether they want to bring them back or, I believe, lose them for the year. That doesn't surprise me that those guys are back, getting back in the fold and not going to be active for the game. The one that is, I think, a big blow here is Foley Fatakasi. I mean, he is a starting D tackle on this team. He's a guy that was definitely going to be heavily depended on in a rotation for the Texans versus the Baltimore Ravens. And as we've highlighted, even more so, given that we're probably going to get a heavier dose of their run game downhill between the tackles. And so that is a big loss right there. One of the top four, cogs in that interior rotation.
Yeah, one of your better run stoppers.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue one of your top two, but they rotate them through pretty big. So, I mean, definitely one of your top four guys and definitely a piece that's going to be hard to replace. I just don't know if you have the body. So we'll see how they shake the roster out there, the active roster out there on game day. But, yeah, no Foley Fatakasi is the one here that sticks out and is painful.
Two Texans greats will be in that game, not playing for the Texans. DeAndre Hopkins or be out there. DeAndre Hopkins and then J.J. Watt. He'll be in the booth calling the game for CBS. So see if he can be objective.
Jury's still out.
I feel like J.J. might go under his breath and hit him with damn.
Yeah, I think it's accepted in today's media.
Is
game.
It?
Yeah, it's a different animal. They don't have robots up there in the booth anymore, man. And so I mean, he is not. He's not been shy about, you know, the his history with the Texans when he's talking about them on all the shows. I don't know why he would change in the booth. I'm the jury's still out for me though on J.J. Watt in the booth.
Really?
I haven't heard enough of J.J. Watt in the booth to decide whether I'm a fan or not.
You're going to hear a lot Sunday.
Yeah, we'll hear it Sunday.
He's in good hands with Ian Eagle,
Need a big day, J.J. Need a big day.
All right, as we continue here, that's the latest from the injury report, and we'll learn more as they get closer to Sunday's game with some of those other guys like Kyle Hamilton who are listed as questionable.
Just keep your soft ass out of the conversation.
Uh-oh.
5 o'clock fire.
Know who he talking to. Astros news. Luis Garcia, who had been previously reported that he would be sidelined for the entire 2026 season. A little bit more clarity there, Clint. Garcia had elbow surgery, which included a reconstruction of his UCL, which means he had Tommy John again, and a repair of a flexor tendon in his forearm. The Astros announced Garcia had the procedure on Wednesday. And as I said, to start this, he will be out for the 2026 season. So, there's real concern with him. And that have two UCLs that close to each other, and it looks like even more with issues in the forearm as well. We'll see what he looks like whenever he comes back, you know, in 2027. But that is a tough blow for him.
Yeah, it's a tough blow. The last part of that report right there, it's his final year under – team control here, so yep. He's a likable dude. You'd like to see him play well in critical moments so he could get some money, get paid what he deserves and what his talent I think commands, and to be injured back to back like this is painful to watch, and then to know it's the last year of team control, I don't know what all that means from a Major League Baseball perspective, but I gotta believe it's not a positive. I gotta believe that's a contract year of when they would have to pay you or let you go, and to hit the open market with back-to-back UCLs and a repair of a flexor tendon, that can't be ideal. So I hate that for Luis Garcia, man.
Yeah, it is. A tough one for him, but now we got a little bit more understanding. He's torn his UCL and had Tommy John twice in the last, you know, two-plus years, under 3 years, which is a tough one to have to deal with.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night, maybe one of the best Thursday night football games that we've seen in a while, and really a surprise. Not what Prime thought they were going to be getting. I'm talking about before the game. They thought they were going to get an NFC West clash.
Yep.
But then they got, you know, the replacements for the 49ers and the Rams. But as football goes, Clint, it was much closer than the 8.5 line that Vegas had, and it ended up being one of the bigger surprise upsets of the season. I still think the Browns beating the Packers may be the biggest upset of the season, but this one, with all the injuries they had, the 49ers, they went in overtime 26-23. Backup quarterback Mac Jones is able to guide them to a victory. They're now 4-1, by the way, and they take sole possession in the NFC West. They're 3-0 in the division, and they beat that Rams team that many people look at as a legit contender in the NFC. And I just want to take it from this angle, Clint. Mac Jones, he is in yesterday's game, 33-49 for 342 yards and two touchdowns. And then if you look at it, he is. He's played three games. Brock Purdy has played two. He's 3-0, Clint. Brock Purdy is 1-1, and he is better across the board than Brock Purdy, including four touchdowns and four interceptions and a fumble for Brock Purdy. Mac Jones has six touchdowns, one interception, and one fumble in his three games there. Is there a potential quarterback controversy in your mind between these two?
No, I don't think there'll be a quarterback controversy. I can't see them paying a guy $250 million and then have a quarterback controversy after a couple
there
of
is,
weeks.
There is that thing, $240-plus million to Purdy and $8 million
yeah,
I do
think Kyle Shanahan is doing a tremendous job, though, of – I mean, he came out and said Mac Jones should be a starter in this league. We like what we got in our backup kind of deal. And he plays well. Kyle Shanahan's going to help him on and off the field get his next job. And so I tell you, for him, Brock Purdy can't come back quick enough. Right now, you want Brock Purdy to get back, and this be your 2025 sample size right here. 3-0
Mac Jones,
you going to free agency with this right here being all that you showed? Hell yeah, man, that would be a big time boost. And so, yeah, look, I think that was a hell of a game last night, man. You look at the game plan from Kyle Shanahan with Mac Jones and with Christian McCaffrey being really the only weapon that he had healthy, the way they set up other guys getting opportunities offensively. They jumped out to a big 14-0 lead. All of a sudden, L.A. comes storming back in McVay and Stafford fashion. And the ending of that game was absolutely tremendous, man. I mean, McVay and them score, and they do what they you think they're going to take a one-point lead. They miss the extra point. You look up, and Mac Jones drives them down. They kick a field goal to go up 23-20. Turn around, L.A. gets the football. They're fixing to score literally inside the one-yard line, fixing to score a touchdown to win it. And they fumble. They hold San Francisco right there. They punt. McVay drives them. I mean, Stafford drives them down, kicks a field goal to go into extras. And then, obviously, you know, they get stopped on fourth down trying to win the game. And San Francisco ends up winning. But L.A. got stopped on fourth down trying to score to win it instead of trying to tie it with that overtime coming to an end, man. So what a hell of a game. It was action-packed. It had a big-time ending. That's what you're looking for if you're prime on Thursday night.
Maybe I'm crazy, Tyler, but I'd have a hard time saying, "Hey, man, hey Mac, man, you got to head back to this bench. I know you're 3-0, and I know you've thrown for more yards than Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, C.J. Stroud. I know you've done that in three games. I got a hard time telling him, hey, man, I know you're 3-0, and this other guy's 1-1, man. I got to send you to the bench.
Grab some of this pine over here.
I mean, Brock Purdy, they just lost to the Jags. He had the top two receivers.
He had Juwan Jennings and Pearsall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
he's in out working this on the road against the Rams with none of them guys and making Kendrick Bourne look amazing. I don't know more. That is – we'll see. I bet you at the very least, Kyle Shanahan said, "Hey man, let's get you 100%. You got to rush this thing, baby. Let's get you 100%. Hey man, chill out, man. You good?"
Well, it wouldn't be Kyle Shanahan if he didn't have a little bit of a quarterback controversy around him, right?
Yeah. Will you look at D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud differently if they lose this game on Sunday? We now know Lamar Jackson's out. She said yes. I believe her head shake was not just yes. It's like she said, hell yes. We'll discuss that. Will you look at D'Amico and CJ, the big two, differently if they are unable to win this game against the Baltimore Ravens? We'll discuss that next.
Lollygagging.
It's not easy.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Talyard Brewing in Sugarland, right next to the Sugarland Space Cowboys Ballpark, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I want to give a shout-out to Tyler Milner. Congratulations to Tyler Milner. Tyler was able to fight through adversity during the show today. And he was put in one of those tough situations where he's looking at the clock.
T, you all right?
He's looking at the clock, and he got to hit the office. He got to hit that toilet.
Oh.
And he had. What'd you have? About 13 minutes or 17 minutes?
Oh shoot! I mean, in total, I think the number was even bigger than either of those.
Yeah, especially with our long-winded asses. He probably had 18 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, we went over 3 minutes.
That he had to sit there, and Tyler, I mean, he fought through it, folks. I mean, it was that's the kind of thing that gets you as the representative of Sports Radio 610 when it comes to the Marconi Awards right there. That's it. That stick-to-itiveness he showed. I mean, my goodness, to fight through it, I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
Did you have a cramp?
Dude, it had been a minute since I've had the cramps and the bubble guts I was dealing with.
What kind of stance do you think he was in? He had to be in this number.
That's the deal here. Tyler was in a rough spot because he went.
Ron, you're nailing it, like in all seriousness.
He had to be.
He was in a bad spot because he went Taco Bell last night.
Oh, God. Dog.
Mistake.
Here's the question. Did you mess around and wear white underwear today?
He don't wear white drawers, man.
I think
he's,
I own white drawers.
Yes.
You don't?
He's not a baby boomer.
No, I definitely, I don't. I don't white underwear.
Right. What are you talking about? Like nobody other than baby boomers can wear white underwear.
Yeah, listen, man, we will let you know. We found it all weird that time recently. You told us you wouldn't purchase some white drawers.
I've got a pair.
We just kept it to ourselves, but we found a little strange that you went out there joints, on purpose and bought
some joints right there.
You're wearing them bikini style briefs.
He's got them out.
I
got my favorite tone.
He got some old fluorescent like he's been to go dancing somewhere on over here.
I got the colorful ones on today, baby.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I didn't know that young fellas didn't wear white drawers.
No, they don't, man. Raise your hand in the building right now if you're a gentleman out here. You got any white drawers in your closet? Anybody in their drawers? Anybody got any white underwear? Men out here, even Bob. Bob said, Bob, you got some. Oh, Bob.
Oh, I knew Bob. Bob, you're now, a white Bob, underwear
Bob,
guy.
Bob's a baby boomer. He's got one pair. Come on, Bob. Come on now. You're better than that.
I mean, what? I mean, I didn't realize this was such a generational thing. I was going with a skid mark approach. I wasn't.
Yeah,
going
I know.
With
yeah, that's a part of why people ain't buying nobody putting white drawers on no more.
Oof.
Except for the John McClanes of the world. Shout out to John McClane.
I didn't realize that.
I know John McClane got 36 pair of white drawers in his, not the boxer ones. His is bikini.
I am not the show.
And they got white.
Reg, you got Reg. You wear white drawers? Never?
No, not a chance. No, man.
I mean, y'all just black underwear? Is that the only way to go?
Black, gray, maybe a little red.
Gray?
Yeah, I'm not that perfect. I'm just not that perfect to wear them white drawers like that with confidence. Like you got on some white drawers right now.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it was such a thing. I'm going to wear these suckers with pride now. Hell, my young wife loves these white drawers I got on. She loves the hell out of them. Hell, your young lady likes them too, don't see that? I'm just going on a white drawers crusade. I'm going to wear nothing but white underwear. And I'm going to try to convince all the young dudes in America to wear white drawers. What about these young fellas back here at this back table? They look like the young ones. You can't tell me ain't none of them guys right there.
No, I guarantee them old boys
on that right side over there got
none
white underwear.
None of them have white drawers in their closet. None of them. Not a chance, man. Ain't nobody buying no white drawers.
Yeah, I'm just telling you,
what's wrong with you, man?
I think my last pair of white underwear, I like I was little.
I'm just not that confident. I'd have some bad days.
I'll argue that them things you got on right there that's hanging out the back of that chair, it takes more confidence than some white underwear.
No, I mean, I'm talking about I ain't got that kind of confidence. I got this kind of confidence where a bunch of colors. I ain't got the kind of confidence that I'm going to make it through every. Now, he got some white drawers in his bed.
Ain't no doubt.
We've heard you talk about getting cavalier with a fart, man. It makes sense.
You know me. I've had to throw some drawers away
well,
in the press
damn,
box.
Damn, I didn't realize it was a generational thing.
No.
Can see a sliver of Ron's underwear over here, and there's four colors I can see.
Somebody texted in and said, I ain't wore whitey tighty since my gal told me I need to step my game up.
Really? Damn. That's unbelievable.
I like
somebody said, I'm 62, Clint. I got you. Yeah, I bet you do.
I didn't know. Seriously, I've never thought about it. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to ask every youngster in the building when we get off the air here.
I'm certain my father-in-law
a Twitter poll. Please.
Well, I think you're just nasty. I think you're worried about – I think you're one of those guys. I think y'all are those guys that you – like my three-year-old. I mean, you crap your britches and you call it a shark.
First off.
No, you didn't shark. You crapped your britches.
First off, Tyler, don't say what like that when he says you're
well,
nasty.
Well, no, I'm nasty as hell.
Nasty.
But sometimes I make comments and Clint calls me nasty, and I'm really not even trying to be nasty.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Earlier this week, you were trying to be nasty and you denied it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And 713-572-4610, while you're also texting in about if you wear white drawers or not, and I am judging you if you do. Clint, if they lose this game, now we know there's no Lamar Jackson. This completely changes the team. And they've got some other guys like Kyle Hamilton who might not be there. There's no Roquan Smith. There's no Marlon Humphrey. They've got a lot of guys out. If they lose this game, in your mind – does your confidence and belief in D'Amico and C.J. Stroud change?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You say change. That's a vague term, but I will. Yes, absolutely, it does, and I think it changes in a big way for both of them. I think it changes in a major way for C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. See, so C.J. more than DeMeco?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think DeMeco came in here and turned this thing around and won 10 games in back-to-back years, went to the second round of the playoffs. They built a roster that I think is a top-tier roster. Now, you can argue offensive line, they've done a piss-poor job drafting and acquiring through free agency or trade. We can pick this thing apart, but I think the organization as a whole is healthy. So I think when it comes to giving grace, I think DeMeco Ryans is going to get quite a bit more grace than the quarterback. And ultimately, the quarterback has backslid since his first year. And I think at this point in time, I think on a national level, for the first time in his pro career, we're hearing the Stroud name brought up, and the same time the protection issues and the question marks around the Texans. And I think that gets a lot louder if you fall to 1-4, and if you can't lift your offense to a point where you can beat a lowly Baltimore team. Now, I don't think it's fair when you look at the box score and say, boy, they've given up a boatload of points this year. I don't know how accurate that is. They've given up a boatload of points. Three of their four games have been to three of the best teams in the NFL.
Let's say they gave up 17 to Cleveland.
Yeah, they got 17 to the one team that you expect them to hold down. Other than that, you got Detroit, Buffalo, and Kansas City. I got a feeling they're going to score some points against most defenses. So I don't know that Baltimore should be viewed the way that we are viewing them as a defense. Boy, this defense has just been scored on. This defense is a real opportunity here. I don't know if that's the case. Now, the injuries, on the other hand, that's a game changer. But, yeah, I think the narrative around the Texans as a whole, Nick Caserio, DeMeco Ryans, C.J. Stroud, everybody on the offensive side of the football, I think the narrative changes in a big way if you lose this – I almost said baseball. You lose this football game.
Yeah, I think for the past year plus, since the end of – the Texans season, CJ's rookie year, DeMeco's first year, it feels like everybody has looked at the Texans as this is either a sexy team that can win a championship or a championship contender. I think a lot of people have looked at the Texans that way. If they cannot beat Baltimore, who has Lamar missing, who has, four or five Pro Bowlers missing, their best player, their signal caller on offense, their signal caller on defense. If they're missing those guys, I think it would signify they're not close. They're not close to any kind of championship level. And I think that will change the way people look at those big two. I think this is a massive game. I think before the season, I think everybody maybe looked at that game, Clint thought, well, they're probably not going to beat them. But now that we are at the game and the game looks the way it does, it's completely different. Yep. Because of who is out there. All right, coming up as we continue on here, our Friday final. The Texans will win if they do what, and we have our predictions along with T-Mill's best bets. That's coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Talyard Brewing in Sugarland, right next to the Sugarland Space Cowboys Ballpark, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. Hey, clap your hands. Make some noise. Let people know the party is being had here. Don't be mad because you didn't win the tickets. Let's go. Clap your hands. Have a good time, man. We've had a great time. This is our third stop on a Football Friday at Talyard's here in Sugarland. We got another stop here? All right. We got two. All right. 2 weeks we will be back here at Talyard's here in Sugarland. So y'all bring your ass and tell somebody else. Tell a friend. Come on out. It's a good time out here. Congratulations to all our winners. I want to take this time to thank the entire staff here at Talyard's. Go ahead and clap it up. They have done a great job, as always. The people who run this place and their staff, fantastic. Fantastic here. Shout out to Keith and company here who have taken great care of us, all of our stops here. Also want to give a shout out to our engineer, Matt, who has kept us on the air and on YouTube and Twitch. Also, our promo staff, Tia, she has done a great job as well. They always do a fantastic job assisting us on being able to put this together, as well as our guy Tyler back at the station holding it down. We appreciate everybody here who's helped us out. Coming up here in a bit, we will give you our reasons of why the Texans will win and our predictions here coming up in just a bit. Remember, after we get completed here, Texans All Access coming up behind us. Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans, and John Harris. They've got things coming up after us. And then Area 45, they're back at it tonight as they are live and local. They get started at 8 o'clock, and they are going until midnight. The best late-night sports show in all of Houston.
Sorry, Ron, one thing. They'll actually get going at 10 p.m. tonight, I believe.
Check that. At 10 p.m. tonight. Area 45, they will get going at 10 p.m. tonight, so stay tuned for that. It certainly says that, doesn't it? 10 to midnight. As they will get going, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago. So stay tapped in for that. And we'll get to T-Mill's best bet here in a bit. He's had a week not in the red, all right? Not in the red, with a chance to get into the green. So T-Mill will try to make you some money with T-Mill's best bets coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. All right, let's get to our Friday final. You can text in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well as we ended. All right, Clint, you can take this on first. The Texans will win if they do what?
If C.J. Stroud plays the same brand of quarterback that we saw last week. Okay. I mean, I know that's a mouthful, but at the end of the day, if C.J.'s working low to high, C.J.'s focused on protecting himself and protecting the offensive line, and getting the ball out of his hand and making quick decisions, then I think Baltimore is too depleted to keep up with them. And it's not going to take much. I say keep up. It's not like it's going to be a boat race. I think when you look at the Texans, I think you score 17 to 20 points. I think you make it really difficult on Baltimore to outscore you right there, especially versus this defense. So I think one way to, as you're watching the game, you know, one thing that I think will be the telltale sign of if CJ's doing that again is, what is Dalton Schultz doing in the first half? What is Dalton Schultz doing in the first quarter? If he's got two or three targets, if he's got two or three catches, if he's got four or five targets in the first.
You boys still with us out there in Sugarland? Could see the finish line on a football Friday. Y'all with us? What a time, people. What a time for us to lose that connection on a football Friday with The Drive, Sports Radio 610. Going to take a quick break, see if we can't get these guys back for a few minutes before we send you on your way into the weekend. It's a football Friday live on The Drive.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Talyard Brewing in Sugarland, right next to the Sugarland Space Cowboys Ballpark, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, a little small technical difficulty there here as we're outside and you're live. Sometimes things happen here. Let's get our picks in, fellas. Again, if we are not able to get to T-Mill's best bets, we'll try to get there. Go to @T-Mill Real Deal. He'll make you some money over these weekend picks, including the Texans and the Ravens. All right, Clint, how do you see this game going? Who you got in this game?
I got the Texans, 17-13.
17-13, huh?
17-13.
Really?
17-13. Right. I believe that it's we're just going to be too much for that beat-up Baltimore team. And we're gonna with our defense. I just think it's gonna be tougher than to move the football with just the run game.
Tyler, what's your score? How you see this game going? I know you got the Texans.
Of course I do. Texans go to Baltimore. They forget about losing the last 8 ball games up there in Baltimore.
Yeah. Why y'all keep talking about that?
And they win this one, 27-10. Woody Marks runs for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. Reps go way, way, way up, and he wins me my fantasy game. Texans win it 27-10 in Week 5.
I've been going back and forth in this thing. I'm going to go with the Texans 20-13, but I do not feel great about it. I will not be surprised at all because I can see the path of the Ravens' backs against the wall, Derrick Henry, Andrews, the middle of the field, all of that. I can see them winning this game. But I'm going to go with the Texans. I think the lack of pass rush is going to make this offense run closer to what they did in the fourth quarter against the Titans than they've done in other games. All right, T-Mill, real quick, your best bets, what you got?
Yes, I got five picks for you around the NFL for week five. Here they are. Dolphins, -1. Virtually a pick 'em, but I got the Dolphins definitely winning this game, -1 at the Panthers. Next, I am taking the points for the New York Giants. Not many of them, but Giants +2.5 as they're going to be in New Orleans taking on the Saints. More points on the next pick. Patriots +8.5 at the Bills. Ron, I know you mentioned this game earlier.
I need it.
Yeah. So maybe you should throw some money down on this one, Ron. Patriots +8.5. You don't want to?
I'll pass. Yeah,
okay.
I'll pass.
Okay. An under. Next pick, Raiders at Colts. I'm on under 48 points in that one. And then lastly here, it's your Texans. We just gave our scores. I got the Texans money line. When I got it, it was at about -115 up in Baltimore. Your Texans win week five. Offense takes another step. Let's go.
All right. Great job, Tyler. Great job. Matt, getting us back going here. Clint, great job. I am Ron, the show Hughley. We appreciate everybody coming out. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. Tyler, if they...
I don't know if I like the way you put that.
That came up poorly.
Well, let me not waste too much time here.
Not get you off the way. I'm trying to gather my thoughts. But Tyler, do you think it is like you expect them to win, like you expected them to beat the Titans?
I'll try to get this, you know, out of the way real quick here. But hell yeah, they need to be leaving Baltimore with a damn win.
See, I agree, it's must win.
Sorry that took a little longer than I wanted.
Have a good weekend, good golf, good tennis, or whatever makes you happy.